Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. And what follows, Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the book of the Psalms and there of Psalm 80. Psalm 80. to the chief musician upon Shozanim, Edoth, a solemn of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou wast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou wast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee that on this day that the doors of thy house have been opened anew, and that another portion of the congregation may come up to thy house. Then we have heard in this morning hour of him that walketh among the golden candlesticks, wilt thou also walk amongst us. May we be given to consider all thy wonderful works. Thou also preachest many a sermon unto us. In thy realm of nature, the wonderful works of the Lord. And thou hast made thy work so perfectly, thou hast also created our parents in thy image as the jewel of creation, and that they were also given to walk with thee in that perfect communion. And now it is so necessary that by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that we not only consider thy works, that they are so good, that they are so wonderful, but may we also learn to consider our works. Were our sins, were they are great and manifold, were we provoked thee to thy face, where we are brought under thy wrath and thy condemnation, and by nature with our children on that broad way to destruction, on account of the choice we have made in our first parents, and which we renew by our actual sin. Lord, may our sin, may that become our grief, our sorrow, and our burden, and that we learn it brings about that separation, that we may learn of another work, and that is the finished work of thy dear Son, where he has cried out on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." And we're in the state of his exaltation by word and spirit. He applies those benefits, O Lord. And may the King walk amongst us in this afternoon hour. Manifest thy power and thy grace, that poor sinners, that they may be stopped, that they may be wrought upon, that they may be turned, that thy love may be shed abroad in their heart, and then they shall be given to ask for thy ways, O Lord. How terrible it shall be under such a precious gospel, free and sovereign grace, and all without money and without price, to go lost. But, O Lord, thou knowest how deep we have fallen, unable and unwilling. And then an almighty wonder from heaven must take place in our life. But thou art an almighty God. Oh, may it please thee in this afternoon that thy kingdom may be extended, that it may not only be added to, but that it may be multiplied. Ah, Lord, may it please thee in the latter days of the earth to do a great work amongst us. Remember thy Zion. Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest where they are encamped. And thou also knowest how they have come up in this afternoon hour. Ah, Lord, thy people learn that it all comes from above, the desire and also the fulfillment thereof. May there have come up souls, and may there be souls in their dwelling with that earnest longing, that when thou walketh among the candlesticks, that thou may speak a word of instruction, of comfort, encouragement, but also when necessary, of reproof and rebuke. Ah, Lord, thy true children, they desire to hear thy voice. And each time they have to confess that it is all forfeited, undeserved, that it is all sinned away. Ah, for thy children, then they learn more and more how faithful thou art for an unfaithful people. Lord, remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. And then in a special way, then we commend unto thee the student who was called upon for the second time on the Sabbath day to speak an edifying word, a will to make all things well, and may it be used for thy glory, O Lord. And may also be encouraged in that way, because the mountains can be so great, and when it is of thee, then the devil shall come against it with all the powers of hell. Wilt thou remember the other student? Remember our theological school. Thou knowest that there are many vacant congregations also in this part of the country. Then we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, to thrust out more labors in thy vineyard. And then we also remember our schools, the time of vacation. Thou knowest the need for teachers. May hearts also be inclined to that end. And then we may humbly ask thee, if it may be thy will in the summer months, that thy sparing hand may be experienced. The old must die, and the young can die. Lord, uphold the persecuted church, where there are so many places upon this earth where thy church can no longer gather. We may still gather with a third of the congregation, but many countries where it is not possible. Perhaps their sanctuary has been burned to the ground. Perhaps the leaders in prison being tortured for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they be given to experience that the King may walk amongst them, who has declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And as it is written in thy holy word, that a hair cannot fall from our head with the will of the Heavenly Father. Lord, then we are so privileged that we may still come up to thy house. We remember all mission work, also our mission field. A family has returned to this country in the past week. We also commend them unto thee. Remember the young father and mother with their two children that are preparing to go to our mission field when thou grants it in the future. May it please thee to prosper their way. Grant them a special place at thy footstool. Wilt thou remember the Jewish nation? May it please thee that the time may soon arrive, that the veil may be taken away, even in the way of their understanding, but above all in the way of experience. And Lord, teach us by thy grace that by nature, when we are under the truth, that we are not so different than that Jewish nation, where the Savior has no form and comeliness, and where we are seeking it elsewhere. Remember Bible translators. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help? Grant an impression that they are dealing with thy holy word, the fitting reverence. Remember all those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Lord, remember the parents whom thou wast blessed with children in the past week. Also the little child that was still in the hospital, where the parents hope that they may take it home in this day. May that be accomplished. And wilt thou grant unto them a humble and a broken heart. May they be children born to be born again. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Provide for our daily bread. We may acknowledge Thee that in the realm of nature, that Thou grantest showers, that Thou grantest sunshine and warmth. Thou hast hitherto kept us from great storms of destruction. Wilt Thou remember the sick and the afflicted, O Lord, those that have that dreaded disease, then we commend unto Thee for body and for soul. Remember the young mother that had surgery, then by renewal. Then we commend her unto Thee with her husband and child for body and soul. Wilt Thou grant them that special place at Thy footstool. May the callings be used. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our care home, the residents, and those that may lovingly care for them, those that are bound to their home, those that may still come up to Thy house. They have come to the evening of their life. There are those that are becoming frailer. Then we commend them all unto Thee. Oh, above all, prepare them to meet their Maker in righteousness and in peace. Wilt Thou continue to uphold the mourning ones? Wilt Thou remember the crosses and the burdens? Remember those under temptation, perhaps addictions. It is all known unto Thee. May they be given to cry unto Thee. Wilt Thou deliver them? Remember all our family circles. May love abound when it is not so. May there be a coming on the knees and opening of Thy word. And Lord, what has been separated, may it please Thee to bring together. Thou art a wonder-doing God. Wilt Thou manifest Thy almighty hand that it may be heard that the Lord has done wonderful things. And now, Lord, in this afternoon, Thou knowest most perfectly how dependent we are upon Thee. Ah, may it please Thee to open Thy precious word, to open our mouth, and to open our hearts, anoint with fresh oil from above. Wilt Thou remember the hearers, those that have come up to Thy house, go from bench to bench and from heart to heart, but go also from dwelling to dwelling. Be then a surprising God, give a little rest in Thy house, that the cares of this world, that they may be placed aside. Lord, wilt Thou then graciously walk and work amongst us and our children, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of Thy kingdom and the glory of Thy name. Wilt Thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 222, the stanzas 4, 5, 6, and 7. O my people, hear my pleadings. O that Thou wouldest hearken now. And no strange worship shalt Thou offer, and nor to idols shalt Thou bow. And what follows? Psalter 222, the stanzas 4 through 7. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Revelation 2, the verses 4 through 7, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou wert fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Our text words speak of the reproof in the letter to Ephesus, which had left her first love. With four thoughts in the first place: a sad complaint. In the second place, a necessary reflection. In the third place, an urgent warning. And in the fourth place, an encouraging promise. The reproof in the letter to Ephesus, which had left her first love: a sad complaint, a necessary reflection, an urgent warning, and an encouraging promise. Beloved congregation, in this morning hour we have heard that the King of the Church, the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks, that he had much praise for the Church of Ephesus. And now in this afternoon, then we are to examine that reproof. Then we see that the King of the Church, that he deals so tenderly with his children, because Christ knows that his children are so quickly disheartened, dismayed, and that they can even start to faint. And to that end, Christ has first commended that church that they may be encouraged. When we consider the Pharisees when Christ was upon the earth, then he has not dealt so tenderly with them, because they had such high thoughts of themselves, self-righteous. They belong to the chosen people of God. But now for the true child of God, it is true. The one child, so it is, also in the family circle, there are children, when they have done something wrong, and father and mother only looks at them, that there already come tears. for other boys and girls, then it takes more. When we read this letter to the church of Ephesus, that is also instruction for us and our children. There can be so much that discourages, that dismays, that we are nearly ready to faint. And to that end, also necessary, that we may be given to commend one another, where the Lord has left many good things in our midst, that we despise it not, that we overlook it not. That is necessary between husband and wife, that they give each other many compliments, no, not to flatter, but that they may be complimented, and that under the goodness of the Lord, that with those compliments, that the Lord is also acknowledged, that we may tell each other how good the Lord has been, to give unto me such a spouse. That is instruction for the family circles, our children, our youth. They can be much discouraged, many times may be ready to faint. That can be in many different ways. Then they need encouragement. That is necessary in the church, that in these dark and evil times, it is true there is much that dismays, there is much that discourages, there is much that gives sorrow, that grieves. Nevertheless, the Lord has still left many good things in our midst. Nevertheless, the King of the Church, walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks, then a specific letter to the Church of Ephesus, and then we read, after all the praise, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, somewhat, my unconverted fellow travelers to eternity, then it is not somewhat, but when we are lying under the wrath of God, under condemnation, when our sins are so great and manifold, against such a good doing and against such a just God, then there is much we would say everything against us. Oh, we need to be converted. May you be given to beg that he who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks, also when you may come up to the courts of the Lord, that he may walk down your bench and that he may arrest you by free and sovereign grace. Oh, for the church of Ephesus, when they have heard the first three verses, maybe there were amongst them, because alas, that awful pride that has come in our hearts through our deep fallen Adam, how little it takes for that pride to arise, just like a balloon filled with gas that needs a hand upon it. And now Christ, they have heard the letter read to the church. Nevertheless, how the church of Ephesus must have listened after that commendation. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Do you hear it, congregation? That is a personal word. When we consider who was speaking these words and who it is spoken against, that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the resurrected Lord, at the right hand of the Father, that he is writing to the church I have somewhat against thee. It is something when there is something between a bridegroom and a bride, between a husband and wife, in the midst of the family, when the one has something against us. But now it is written in our text words that it is Christ that he is declaring, oh, the bridegroom that has paid such a great dowry, that he has shed his blood, that he was willing to suffer and die, that bride may be redeemed. And now for the bride of Christ, oh, what a great work Christ has done. Then he has sent his messengers, the ambassadors from heaven, to proclaim law and gospel. It was accompanied by the Holy Spirit. They have been brought from that narrow way and from that broad way and placed upon that narrow way. They have tasted of the good things of the Lord. Oh, they have made that sweet choice of a Ruth. They have followed the Lord in sown and unsown ways. They had many good things for them, as we have heard in this morning. But now to hear in church that it is the Lord, that it is the risen Savior, that he has somewhat against them. Oh, then surely, then for the people of God, how they must have listened when they have heard somewhat against thee. Oh, how they must have listened, desirous to know what it was that the King of the Church had against them, after they have praised for many things. And then we read, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou wast left thy first love. What do we mean by that first love? We know what love is. Maybe hard to write so much about it, but when there is love, ask a young man and a young woman. When there is love, ask a husband and wife. Ask the family circles what a blessing it is when by the common goodness of the Lord, that love may abound more and more. There's no perfection, but what a precious gift that is. When there is love, that becomes evident with our affections, comes evident how we spend our time and how we use our talents. And now love is a grace that the Lord grants to his people by his Spirit in the moment of regeneration. Then they receive a love for the Lord. It's what in our text we speaks of love. Then let me ask you, congregation, do you now love the Lord? Boys and girls, do you now love the Lord? Young people and older ones, if I would ask you in this afternoon, do you have faith? Have you repented? Maybe it would not be so easy, although when the Lord grants it, then the church learns what it is to believe, although they have many questions concerning their faith. And the church knows what it is to repent. But now a very simple question. Christ has said at the Sea of Tiberias, Simon Peter, Lovest thou me more than these? And then Peter, he did not have to think for 10 minutes, but he knew what dwelt in his heart. Thus, that is the important question. And I read that Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man any boy, any girl, any man, love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be anathema. That means, let him be cursed. Ah, the Lord has a people that know what that love is. And then when the Lord works that love, then we have love for God, for his attributes, for his word, for his law, for his people, for his day, everything that has connection with the Lord. But now in our text, I have somewhat against thee. Then Christ did not say they did not have any love. And Christ did not say that he did not love them. But it is a very specific reproof. I have somewhat against thee, because thou was left thy first love. What are we now to understand by that expression, the first love? Think we can understand that is a very vehement, a very tender love with many exercises, a very affectionate love, that is a love that bears fruit. And now concerning that expression, the first love, that can be expressed or explained in different ways. Oh, surely, when the Lord begins to work, it is true. The one he works more driving by the law, and another drawing by love, but they are all drawn by that love. Even when that people are at Mount Sinai, and they hear the thundering of the law. I read in Galatians 5, verse 6, that faith worketh by love. Thus that first love, that is that first time when the Lord begins to work, when everything is so tender and so real, and when we have learned that we have sinned against such a good doing and such a just God, then that people are so busy with the things of the Lord, then it is so tender, then they need the Lord for everything. That expression, first love, that can also refer to the time when that precious Savior has been revealed, when the church may be given to behold and believe that that Savior is so sufficient and so rich and so able that he is even able to save them, that there is a possibility opened. Oh, what a rejoicing. And then further, of course, when it may be tender, when it may be close, then it is that first love. But it also refers to the time with the application of the Savior, when by true saving faith, when they may embrace the same. To make it simpler yet, if we think of the book of Ruth, then in the land of Moab, then the instruction and the speaking and the life of Nehemiah has been used by the Holy Spirit to draw Ruth out of heathendom to the true worship of God. Oh, then a Ruth was willing to do anything that she may belong to that people of God. No sacrifice too much. Never too busy. Everything had to be put out of the way. Then there was one thing needful that we need to be converted. Oh, when the Lord works, then we become unconverted. Oh, in that time of first love, then she had made that precious choice. Thy people shall be my people. and thy God, my God. Then further, then she has also experienced a time of first love. When she was on the field of Boaz in chapter 2. And when Boaz has come and spoken so comfortably to her soul, and that he has said that she has come to put her trust under his wings. And when she has received the special invitation to dine with Boaz, and when Boaz, to a poor widow, one from Moab, because she has said that she was not as those other handmaidens. Ah, when she has sat there, surely that was a time of first love. But was it also not a time of first love when in chapter 4, when as a destitute widow, where the barley harvest has come to an end, and where she was so poor, and that at the gate, that she was married to Boaz, and that the riches of Boaz, that they have become hers, where she has felt that embrace of Boaz as her husband. Thus, that first love, those are those special times when everything is so tender, when everything is so close. Oh, when that people are so exercised with the things of the Lord, when they are so busy with the coming of His kingdom and with the glory of His name. And now Christ, the message to the church in Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. In the Old Testament, then we read in different places of a backslidden church. When we read of our text, then we could perhaps say that to be in a backslidden state, that is even a further declension in the spiritual life of a child of God, although in a certain sense. When a child of God has left their first love, then there is a certain backsliding, because then the child of God, and they shall know it, when we speak in our text of leaving our first love, there can also be times in the life of God's people that they are brought into great darkness, that the Lord in His sovereignty leads them in mysterious ways. There can be other times when they have fallen into a great sin. If we think of David, after he had taken Bathsheba, that was a very sudden departure. Before that time, he was busy fighting the battles of the Lord. But now our text that speaks a more of a gradual experience in the life of a child of God. And now, what was the cause that the church of Ephesus, that they have left their first love? Oh, it is true. The church must receive everything from above. John 15, verse 5, without me ye can do nothing. But the church, oh, we can talk pious, and we can say it all must come from above, and that secretly when we leave our first love, that we can secretly blame the Lord. But now concerning the causes of leaving that first love, and the symptoms of leaving that first love, they are very similar in many cases, although as a general rule, the symptoms, they are to a greater degree than the causes. And now with people that has left the first love, what are now the marks thereof, people of God? Where shall we begin? what are now the marks of leaving that first love. A certain old father has stated that there are not so many of children of God that may continue in that first love. Also, in that way, they shall experience each time by renewal the faithfulness of God for an unfaithful people. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Are there people that must say, that is now my picture? When the letter is read, then it is a personal letter to me. How has that come? Let us mention a few things. Then surely the inner chamber, our prayer life, not that it has not remained as it was in that time of first love. Oh, in the beginning, then we needed the Lord for everything, spiritually, but also temporally. And then our prayers, our confession, our thanksgiving was not so general. And so easily say, forgive us of our sins, but that we do not even think of our sins, and that it is not so particular. But oh, in that time of first love, when it is so tender, then we are given to confess in particular this sin, that sin. Then how particular and how real our requests are. And then there were those times that we have become so small under the special providence of the Lord. When we considered the means of grace in the time of that first love, what a hunger and what a thirst for the Lord and the means of grace. Then we knew what it was, a preparation for the Sabbath day. How glad we were when it was announced that there was a weekday service. Oh, then in secret places, maybe even hidden from our spouse, hidden from our parents, that even in the night watches, that we were searching the Word of God concerning the things of God and how the Lord converts His people, because, oh, in that time of first love, then we learn what it is when the Lord is against thee. Then it is so personal. It is because of our black sins. Oh, in the time of first love, then there are tears wept. This too different, we have mentioned, different times of first love shall be experienced in a different way. Nevertheless, in the time of first love, a hunger and a thirst. And then there can come a time that hunger and thirst becomes less. Form and duty, still religion, but the desires are not so vehement. Then further, when the church, when they are given to live off the benefits, off the gifts, still speak of what has taken place, but it has become so dry. And then they are satisfied with the gifts, and they do not strive for the keeping up of that communion. Andrew Gray, a Scottish minister, a light in the church. Oh, we would say he was a minister. When we read his sermons, he's not become so old. When he was 22 years old, it is evident that he was living in that first love, because he said to his dear wife that he hoped before another birthday that he may be with him whom a soul has loved. In a certain sermon he has stated, when the Lord works, then what a striving there is to be restored into that communion with the Lord. But now it is necessary for the child of God that same effort remains, that communion with the Lord may be maintained, and that it may even be increased. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Then it can be the many cares of the world and for our family circle. And they are manifold and they are great. Just ask fathers and mothers. It is true. It can be in the time of that first love that that church, some of God's people, then they need another reproof the other way. That husbands, wives, wherever we are placed, that we need to be told that we still have a place, a duty in our daily life, that we may not neglect our duty. It is true, one thing is needful. Our soul needs to be saved. But it can be there, those that in their first love that are so busy with the things of the Lord, that there can even be a certain neglect of their daily duties. It is true. Sometimes that people in their first love, they need to ask the Lord that the Lord may grant them strength, that they may have their heart in their daily labors, that they may fulfill the obligations whereunto they are called. Oh, in the time of that first love, then also concerning their daily labors, then how they need the Lord. But then there can come a time that they become so busy with the things of the Lord, with the things of the world, that they are given to leave their first love. Can be that they do not have that dependent life. Oh, in the time of first love, when it may be lively, then what a dependent life they may have. But then there can come a time that, as Judah has done, when there have come troubles and difficulties, that they have not entrusted it unto the Lord and waited for the Lord, but that they have fainted, and that they have sought out after an arm of flesh. And then further, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, that thou hast left thy first love, that there can be idols in their life that are in competition. Because what is an idol? That is somewhat, that we honor, love, and trust more than the Lord. And what an idols there can be in the life of God's people that keep them busy and that draw them away from the Lord. Can be in the world evil associations. When we think of Solomon, oh, at the beginning, when it was so tender, and the Lord has come in that dream, what he desired, and he has asked wisdom, but later with all his wives, then it has become so different. It can be, we have heard in this morning, that the church was commanded, that they were still busy with his name, that we become more busy with our name and our kingdom and our honor and glory, and that we become something with everything we have received and what is missing. What I read in Zephaniah 3, verse 12, and I will also leave in thee the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Leaving our first love, that is when we are not watching and when we are not praying. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. But now Christ, not a period, but then he is given unto that church of Ephesus that have left their first love, what they must do. Our second thought, unnecessary reflection. And then we read, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. That is a strong word. When we fall, then it is from one a high to a depth. Christ does not even say to that church that thou was slidden a little bit. And it is true, leaving that first love as a general rule, unless we fall into great sin, special circumstances, but as a general rule, it is very gradual. Because when the Lord has spoken of the children of Judah concerning their backsliding in Hosea 7, verse 9, then it is written, the gray hairs are here and there upon him, and he knoweth it not. That is how that backsliding condition of Judah has been described, as one that becomes older and a gray hair here and there, and he realizes it's not until such a one becomes gray. But now Christ has said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Thus then Christ, then he encourages that church that has left the first love to now remember and reflect upon that time of first love. What a tender, what a blessed, and what a sweet time that was, even in that time of missing, in the beginning, when you needed the Lord for everything, when you had such a spiritual appetite, when the tears have flowed so freely and so easily in God's house, although you have tried your best to hide it, but sometime they had to flow, and in the night watches, oh, remember that time when you had such a dependent life, when you were given to reflect upon the attributes of the Lord, oh, who he was in his majesty and in his glory, in his power, in his omnipotence, in his omniscience, oh, in all his attributes, but also in his mercy. Oh, when you have become so small, when the Lord has given a token of his loving kindness, I remember that time when you have come to the fields of Boaz, with such a desire, even when you did not know Boaz, when you have come to church to the field of Boaz, and when you were given to glean, even when it was in the way of judgment, because in that beginning time, then we are excluded. Then we do not belong to that blessed people, because then we learn that the Lord is everything against us. But because of that first love, that is a people that cannot miss the Lord. Oh, the thought that to go lost and to spend an eternity in hell, to have to curse such a good-doing and loving God. Oh, what an anguish that causes in such a soul. And therefore Christ said unto that people, consider your life now, how it is when you have left that first love. It's true, still many good things we have heard in this morning. No, then that people, they still had a place in church, that people. They still exercised with the things of the Lord. They had patience, they fainted not, they knew the truth. When there were ones that did not bring the truth, they have tried them, found them liars. Thus that people, they had an experiential knowledge of the truth. And yet with all those things, what a tender examination. That there can be much, much religion, people of God, know how it has been in their life, know the truth, can detect error, and yet to leave our first love, that is religion, but that tender love, that close life, oh, being oftentimes on our knees during the daytime, sending up many prayers. When we work, then many times our prayers are short. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Oh, Lord, convert me. Lord, grant me now a little token of thy favor. That I may know that I am thine. Oh, Lord, my sins, they testify against me. Wilt thou pardon me of all my sins? And now Christ is unto his child. Child, reflect upon those things, how it was so tender and so dependent. And then child, were their former days not better than now? And then Christ has added, remember therefore from whence thou art falling and repent. Repentance, that is a change of mind and a change of action, an exhortation. Does Christ not know that the church is dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes. Reverend Hellenbrook, in his lesson upon actual sins, when he has spoken that man is unable of themselves, must all come from above, then he has asked, wherefore then in God's word are there those commands, those threatenings, and those promises? And then he has written, the Lord uses those that man may be brought. These are the means that God uses to operate upon us as a rational creature to the discharge of our duty. And therefore Christ, he says unto his church, remember, reflect, repent. And what must that church, what must that bring that church to? That they need him that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. How necessary, how precious. As prophet, priest, and king, let us first sing. Psalter 123, the stanzas 1 and 3. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin He knows all our hearts and the secrets within and what follows. 123, 1 and 3. The reproof in the letter to Ephesus, which had left her first love. A sad complaint, a necessary reflection, and now thirdly, an urgent warning. When we read of this reproof, nevertheless I have something against thee, that thou wast left thy first love. Then it was also a calling for the church to examine whether indeed they have experienced that first love. Because congregation, there can be much. Think of the stony ground here in the parable of the sower. There can be feelings, there can be convictions, there can be emotions. A word is yet not the true work of the Lord, and therefore, in this reprimand, then the church is also called to examine whether indeed it was a time of first love, or whether it was only a temporal faith. It is true, when we consider the life of grace, many times compared to a birth of a child, then a baby is fondled much more than when they become older. It is true that the church must not only live by sight, but that they must learn to live by faith. When we consider our text words, leaving the first love, then it is best the example of a bridegroom and a bride. Then I read in the Song of Solomon, with that married bride when her bridegroom has been on a long journey concerning the kingdom and the business, and when he has returned in the night and knocked on the door, then that bride has remained on her bed. She has known at different times when they were courting, and then when the bridegroom-to-be, when he has said that he would come, then when he has knocked on the door, then that bridegroom did not have to wait, but the bride-to-be was waiting anxiously with a desire to open the door that they may see one another. And now the solemn command of the King of the Church, and repent. What does that repentance consist of? That is a knowledge that we have left our first love, that we can leave the Lord on His place so easy, with a sorrow over our sin, that we have caused Him grief, and with a confession of the same with tears, and with a vehement desire, that we may be restored, that we may experience those exercises by renewal, and that as a poor sinner bound at the throne of grace, and that by renewal that we may experience His special favor, and to that end, and repent, and do the first works. Ah, does the church, can the church now do it of self? No. They learn that they are so dependent. John 15, verse 5, without Me ye can do nothing. Nevertheless, a royal command, and now Christ in His loving kindness, then He grants unto His people by His Spirit of what He has commanded. And therefore we read that urgent warning, or else, ought to incite the church of God that they may come on that right place, that they may be given to examine themselves, or else, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place. What a solemn warning, boys and girls. Then you remember in this morning that the church is compared to a candlestick, and a candlestick holds the candle that may give light. No, the candlestick is not the light, but they are only bearers and holders of that light. And now Christ has said to the church of Ephesus, with all the blessings left in their midst. Repent. Leave your idols. Leave your sins, the worldly ways, or else I will come unto thee quickly and take the candlestick out of his place. What does that mean, congregation? That means that there will come a time that there shall not be those golden candlesticks in the midst of a congregation who by the work of the Holy Spirit may give that light in the way of confession and walk. I read in Isaiah 57 verse 1 that the righteous are taken away for the judgment to come. Oh, what a solemn warning. What a profound word to the church of Ephesus, or else the candlestick shall be removed out of his place. In Ezekiel 9 and 10, we read that the glory was ready to depart from the children of Israel, that it has stood on the thresholds. What a solemn word. What is now necessary, because of course, God's people, also the church that has received this letter, was living at the time. There would come a time that the Lord would take them home, that those candlesticks, they would be removed out of the midst of the congregation of Ephesus. What is then necessary, young people? Must think along. What is now necessary for Ephesus? When the older would be taken away, those candlesticks, they would no longer give their testimony by confession and walk, that there would come other candlesticks in their place from among young and old. When we read these words, not implying that there can be a falling away, falling out of grace, know that lies sure, and that Alpha and Omega, but an exhortation to the church that it may be given to reflect, to remember, to consider, and to repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, that is placed in the midst of that reproof. What is the meaning thereof? Then the meaning thereof is when there is not a hating of the Nicolaitans, then we are even fallen further away. And what was that sin? We read that in the verses 14, the sin of the Nicolaitans, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Thus that spoke of the whoredom of the children of Israel when they were in the plains of Moab, than it is implied in our text. When that sin is not hated, when it is accepted, when it is not sorrowed over, then it is even a further departure from the Word of God. And now for the church, for encouragement. That is our forethought, an encouraging promise. He that hath an ear, let him hear. We shall let those words lie. What the Spirit saith unto the churches, and then as encouragement to him that overcometh, from the Lord's side, salvation lies so sure for a child of God, lies firm in the election of the Father and the purchase of the Son, and the application, the work of the Holy Spirit, but now for a church, then for examination and consideration and for encouragement, then for that church of Ephesus, to him that overcometh. Separation, there can also be much that comes so close, but that it at the end shall not overcome. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. In Genesis 2, we read of two trees, of the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we have taken of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the Lord has placed cherubims at the gate of paradise to bar the way to that tree of life. But now for the church of God may persevere, and the true church shall persevere, the perseverance of the saints. But to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Those are the blessings of the covenant of grace. We read of that tree of life, John, at the end of this book, then in the vision, then he was given to see that heavenly Jerusalem, and that there was a river of waters clear of crystal that has come forth from the throne and from the Lamb. And then on either side stood that tree, and that every month it had fruit on the tree. And now God's people here below, they may have the foretaste the same as when those spies have returned with those fruits. Then they may have a foretaste of that promised land. And now Christ to encourage that church to a close, to a dependent, to a tender life. Then he is given to say that people, it is true, there was persecution, many difficulties, but with that people, with that tender life, then Christ shall give unto him to eat those fruits of that tree. They are the blessings of grace, those fruits, of which we read in Galatians 5, the verses 22 and 23, and then in Revelation at the end of the book, Revelations 22, then we read, they shall also be for the healing of the nations, also for the healing of backsliding congregation. What a message for the church of Ephesus. Oh, surely, then they had much to meditate upon, and how necessary for us, because they tell us today, if we go to Ephesus, no city and no true church. The candlesticks, they have been taken away. Candlesticks were given to burn very brightly in other places. And what should now be our prayer? That in the first place, that the Lord may give many more candlesticks. And those that have become candlesticks, that they may not become dimmer and dimmer, but that they may burn brighter and brighter. Then it shall be seen in the congregation. It shall be seen in the community. And therefore the necessity of the prayer we have read together from Psalm 80, and what a necessary and fitting prayer that is for us and our children, when we read in the last three verses, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. That is Christ. He has been made strong. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of a very solemn reproof for the church of Ephesus, where thou wast wrought so wonderfully and so powerfully, and where thou wast given them many praises. May we be given to turn unto ourself, our Lord. May there be yet a few that may be living in that first love, that tender, that close, and that dependent life. May there be a people that may be given to reflect, and may they be filled with sadness. May they be given to cry unto thee, turn us, Lord, cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Lord, may the number of candlesticks, may it be greatly increased amongst us and our children. Wilt thou also grant candlesticks among our little children, among our youth, among the middle-aged and the elderly ones, then thy name shall be glorified. Lord, remember us in the furtherance of this Lord's day. Bring us under thy holy word once more. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 221. Let us sing 1 and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, amid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above, in might come and save us. Thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 221, only 1 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.